This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bill Bowling is the Lieutenant Governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, and he joins us on the long line. How are you, sir?
To be or not to be, that is the question.
That's good stuff, isn't
it? That's about the extent of my knowledge.
Hey, have you ever been to that Shakespeare theater in Stanton? I never have.
I have not been to the one in Stanton, although Jean Ann and I used to, every year, we would go down every summer. The College of William and Mary has a great Shakespearean festival.
Yeah, of course.
And they would normally do two or three different Shakespearean plays every summer. And we just loved it. We'd go down there to Phi Beta Kappa Hall and watch it every summer. Haven't done it in a few years, but it was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I have very fond memories. Of course, I acted on that very stage when I was at William & Mary.
Did you do Shakespeare?
I never have done Shakespeare. I did Gilbert and Sullivan.
I was a thespian myself. In fact, in my high school years, I received the Thespian of the Year Award.
Hey!
And some say this whole political thing's a little bit like acting in and of itself.
Speaking of the political world, give us your take on what's going on right now. We are past crossover, so we are just past the halfway point of the 2009 General Assembly session. All the folks at home, we keep seeing headlines and keep getting reports. Take us behind the scenes and tell us what's going on.
Well, obviously, Coy, the big thing that continues to dominate all of the attention in Richmond really is the budget and this, you know, ongoing saga about how big is our shortfall. The governor, I think, finally this week fessed up, and you know, he had been telling us the shortfall was $2.9 billion, and you may recall on your show many times I've said, look, it's more like 3.5 or 3.6 billion.
Right.
And this week he finally brought us some revised numbers and said, yeah, you're right. In fact, he put it even at $3.8 billion. And then we got this federal, depending on your perspective, stimulus or spendulous package, and what it means for Virginia and how do you factor it into the budget. So this whole, you know, fiscal mess that we find ourselves in the midst of continues to dominate most of the attention in Richmond. And really, when you look at this session, apart from that, there just really haven't been a lot of other key marquee issues that have gone to the front page. Maybe the proposed smoking bans have been really about the only other thing that has come anywhere near close to grabbing headlines alongside the fiscal debate.
Yeah, and we definitely want to talk about that. But the stimulus package, what does it mean for Virginia? I think Governor Kane has said it means $1 billion, and a lot of that's going to go to Medicaid, if I'm not mistaken. But from your desk, what does it mean?
Well, it's kind of good news and bad news. You know, it is about $1 billion for Virginia. I think the actual number we're operating off of right now is about $1.2 billion for Virginia directly, and that's stuff we can use for budget relief, if you will. And look, I mean, it's got some good things in it and some things that we can certainly use. It's got about $700 million in money for you know, road construction and some other money in it for capital projects that we can certainly put to good use. It's got a lot of other money in it that is more oriented toward specific programs like education or Medicaid spending. Medicaid is clearly the biggest part of the package. But the thing, Coy, that the General Assembly has to be very careful about when we're looking at this stimulus package and how we use it to balance our budget, we've got to understand that every penny in this package is one-time money. And you can use one-time money to pay for one-time things like building roads or bridges or enhancing your water and wastewater infrastructure, extending broadband to rural parts of the state. You know, there are a lot of good things that we can use one-time money for because they're one-time expenses. But when you start balancing your budget by using $800 million for Medicaid, Medicaid's not a one-time expense. That's an ongoing expense. Same thing with public education or higher education. There's a lot of money in here that we can use to backfill some of the holes that the shortfalls have created. But in doing that, we need to be very mindful of the fact that we're using one-time money to pay for ongoing government programs, and that doesn't work. What this stimulus package will do at best is buy us about 18 months, but then the money runs out. And the truth is that the problem in Richmond is a simple problem. We're spending more money than we're taking in. And we can, you know, we can put a finger in that hole by using this one-time money for a little while, but when this one-time money runs out, as it will on September 30th of 2010, we still have a structural problem in the budget. We're spending more than we're taking in. So, you know, my view is that we need to use this money for one-time things. We should not be balancing our budget of ongoing programs with one-time money. If we do that, we're only putting off till another day the difficult choices we have to make, and those difficult choices are just all about bringing spending in line with revenue.
We're talking with Bill Bowling. He is Lieutenant Governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia and the Republican nominee in this year's campaign for the office of Lieutenant Governor. If you win in November and Bob McDonnell, the Republican nominee for governor, wins, tell me what y'all will do in this regard vis-a-vis the budget.
Well, I think the biggest challenge, whoever the next governor and lieutenant governor is that, you know, when this money runs out, we're going to have a big problem. And, you know, there are only two ways to solve that problem. You solve it by increasing revenue, or you solve it by reducing expenditures. And fundamentally, you know, what I think we need to do in Virginia is have an honest conversation with ourselves about how much money we have through tax revenue to spend on the various programs of state government, and then we got to bring spending in line with that revenue. There are some things that government needs to do, and we need to do those things well, like public education and public safety and higher education and, you know, infrastructure enhancement, transportation, and the like. But, you know, this money doesn't grow on trees, and government just can't keep trying to be everything to everybody. At some point here, we've got to exercise some fiscal discipline. We've got to restore fiscal integrity to this process. And, you know, what we're going to do, first of all, we're going to make sure that our budgets are based on a solid fiscal foundation, that we're not propping them up like this administration has done with the use of one-time money and unrealistic revenue projections. And then we're going to have to adjust spending accordingly. And unless the people of Virginia are prepared to pay significantly higher taxes, and I don't believe they are, I certainly don't hear people coming up to me saying, "Hey, Bill, please raise my taxes." You know, they come up to me say, "Look, I don't have enough money to make ends meet now. You guys need to be looking for ways to let me keep more of my money, not take more of my money." It means that we've got to bring spending in line with revenue, and that means tough choices about what it is that we want government to do, what we want the private sector to do, and then of the things we want government to do, how do we prioritize that and cautiously use our revenue. Ultimately, Coy, what we've got to have in this state is leadership that gets us back to the point that we were a few years ago, where we had balanced budgets, truly balanced budgets, that were producing budget surpluses, as opposed to these budgets that are just terribly out of balance and propped up with one-time revenue and overly optimistic revenue projections, and they're producing huge budget shortfalls. And, you know, with all due respect to the current administration, in 3 years, almost 4 years now of budgeting, they have missed their revenue estimates by wide margins every single year. They have incurred massive budget shortfalls every single year. They've tapped into the rainy day fund, the savings account, to pay for these programs every single year. And we can't keep doing that. You know, that's not how we became the best managed state in the nation. It's not how we earned a AAA bond rating. That's not the way to run a business or a household, and it's sure not the way to run a government.
We're talking with Bill Bowling, the Lieutenant Governor of Virginia, the Republican nominee for that office for the elections in November. We've got a couple of minutes left before we have to break for local news, but before we let you go, tell us about this the smoking compromise that was come up, the amendments that were added on the House, and it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was just rejected by the Senate. Is that right?
Yeah, it's hard to tell what's going to happen with that, Coy. You know, this debate's been around a long time, but this year one of the things that was different is that Governor Kaine and the Speaker of the House, Speaker Bill Howe, came to an agreement whereby they forged what they viewed as a compromise of sorts. Unfortunately, the Speaker was unable to get that compromise through the House of Delegates, and the House ended up amending the bill significantly on the floor in a way that it no longer makes the governor or the smoking ban advocates happy. So, you know, the House has amended the compromise bill. The Senate has rejected the House amendments. The bill is back before a committee of conference. That committee will bring forth a recommendation prior to the end of the legislative session. I suspect that recommendation will look a lot like the original compromise bill, but I don't think that's going to make it through the House of Delegates. So, you know, sometimes here people try to, you know, they overlook their ability to achieve the good by searching for the perfect, and in the long run they end up getting nothing. And that may well be what happens with this legislation. I would not be the least bit surprised at this point to see whatever compromise comes out of the conference committee not get a majority vote in the House of Delegates. And a result of that, we may well leave town with nothing done again.
Now, Bob McDonnell has said that he didn't support it in the name of property rights for business owners. They should be able to have smoking if they want to. And I'm curious as to your take on it. Personally, I could argue it round or square. I can see it both ways, the property rights, have smoking if you want to. But I also see the public safety. You know, we tell people they have to wear seatbelts in their own cars. So I could sort of see it both ways.
Yeah, it certainly is one of those issues that if you were on the debate team and you were given the argue for it or argue against it instruction, you could put together a pretty credible argument either way. I tend to come down on the same side as the issue as Bob McDonnell has come down. You know, the truth is that about 70% of the restaurants and bars in Virginia today are smoke-free. They've gone smoke-free voluntarily because the market has driven them that way. I think eventually we're going to see close to 100% go smoke-free because that's what the public wants. I would prefer to see those decisions made by business owners. I'd prefer to see those decisions driven by the market as opposed to governmental intervention. But look, what's driving this debate, and this is what happens in a representative democracy, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, is the polls say that two-thirds of the people support some sort of a ban, and the legislatures are certainly mindful of that, and that's why I think over the years you've seen this legislation gain more and more momentum.
Right, right. Bill Bowling, the Lieutenant Governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, joins us once a month on this program. Thank you, sir, so much. We'll look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks, Coy. It's always fun.
Take care.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.